Welcome back to the Real Estate Exam Podcast. This is lesson number 4 for the Washington Real Estate Salesperson Exam audio lessons. The full series of audio lessons is 8 hours and 37 minutes in length and consists of 20 individual lessons. This lesson number 4 is on the transfer of real property. So let's get on to this lesson.
Welcome to this lesson entitled Estates. Welcome to this lesson entitled Estates. In this lesson, we will be talking about what an estate is and what that means if someone has an estate, the different kinds of estates, and other issues that have to do with estates. So let's go ahead and get started. So an estate means that somebody has an interest in a piece of land that they now have the right to exclusively occupy and use, or that they might sometime in the future have the right to exclusively occupy and use. So it's important to note, though, that all estates involve an interest in land. Not every interest in land is an estate, so they're not interchangeable words. Some people have interest in lands that are non-possessory. That means that they don't have the exclusive right to use and occupy the land. And so if you don't have that exclusive right, you don't have an estate. And estates, they fall into these two broad categories. And those categories are freehold estates and leasehold estates. The difference between a freehold estate and a leasehold estate is that with a freehold estate, there's not a fixed time frame where you own the property. You have it until you would like to transfer the ownership of it to another, but nothing is compelling you to do that. It also usually comes with the greatest bundle of rights compared to a leasehold estate. A leasehold estate is one that has a limited duration. There's a time limit on how long you are going to have rights to that property. And typically, the rights that you have on the property are more limited than those of a freehold estate. A freehold estate is usually what somebody has when they own a piece of property or buying a piece of property. And a leasehold estate happens during a lease or a rental agreement. So that's the one big difference between the two. Think about time frame. And if the time frame is permanent, then it's a freehold. And if it's not permanent, then it is a leasehold estate. And both are vital to understand when we're talking about real estate licenses. So let's go ahead and first talk about freehold estates and what they mean, so on and so forth. So a freehold estate, that's a really old name. It's something that was named all the way back in the Middle Ages. That's why it's kind of a strange, interesting word that we don't really use today. But just today, there are two different kinds of freehold estates that you need to understand. There is the fee simple estate and the life estate. So a fee simple estate means that a fee simple estate is the highest kind of estate that you can possibly have. It means that you have absolutely all of the rights, all of the components of ownership that you could possibly have. We sometimes talk about the bundle of rights, and that usually includes a subset of all of the rights. But if you have the fee simple estate, that means that you have absolutely all of the rights, which is something that a lot of people like. They want to be able to do whatever they would like with their property. It's also not limited by time. You're not going to run out of time on it. You simply have it for as long as you would like. One great thing about fee simple estates is that they are freely transferable and also freely inheritable. You can leave it to your heirs if you like. You can sell it to anyone that you like, and so on and so forth. It's easy for you to do really whatever you want with it. And so, really, it could just be passed down from generation to generation if that's what you would like to do. One other thing you might need to know about fee simple estates is that there's also a way that you can put sort of some strings attached to a fee simple estate. So you could say the fee simple estate gets passed down to the heirs, but there are some conditions attached to that. For example, this fee simple estate can be passed down, but they have to agree to use it for a certain purpose. They have to use it for charity work or something else. Whatever that stipulation is, as long as that stipulation is met, then the fee simple estate transfers hands. So that's one kind of freehold estate. We also have the other kind, which is a life estate. And that's a freehold estate whose duration is only for the lifetime of a specific person or a specific number of persons. So as long as that person is living, then they have the rights to the freehold estate. But when that person dies, then a couple different things can happen, but often it's just that the estate reverts back to its previous owner who granted the life estate in the first place. So like I mentioned, there are a few different things that can happen with a life estate depending on what the stipulations of the estate were. In a life estate, there's always a grantor. That's the person who originally owns the property and then grants it to a grantee. That's the person who receives the property for the remainder of his or her life. And so let's talk about some of the things that can happen when the grantee dies. The first is called an estate in reversion. That means that the property reverts back to the grantor at the end of the grantee's life. So that's just an automatic process. The estate is done, goes back to the grantor. The grantor can then do whatever he or she decides would be best with it. Then we have the estate in remainder, and that says that upon the death of the grantee, that there is another party that the property should go to. This person is known as a remainderman. And so they say, okay, this is a life estate, and the remainderman is this third party. And so if the grantee dies, the remainderman becomes the new grantee. So it automatically passes again to a third party and not back to the original owner. So there's a few different things that you need to remember for about life tenants. They have all of the same rights as a fee simple owner. But they also have some responsibilities. They can't commit what is called waste on the property. And that means to knowingly damage the property or to do something that is going to reduce it in value for a future owner, because as you remember, it's not really their property. Like, it's their property for their life, but after their life, it's going to go to someone else automatically, either back to the grantor or to the remainderman. So in this case, they need to be very careful not to do anything that is going to lessen the value of the property. And if they do that, they can be held financially liable for that. So they definitely don't want to do that. All right, so that is enough about freehold estates for now. Let's go ahead and talk about some leasehold estates. And just like freehold estates, there are many different kinds of leasehold estates. They are categorized in a few different ways. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the differences between different kinds of leasehold estates. So we've got four different kinds that you'll typically talk about and that you'll need to know how to describe. We have the estate for years. We have the periodic estate. We have the estate at will, also known as a tenancy at will sometimes. And then we have the tenancy at sufferance. All of these are different kinds of leasehold estates. So first, let's talk about the estate for years. And this one's a little bit tricky because the name itself is a bit misleading. An estate for years doesn't literally mean it's an estate that lasts a certain number of years. It just means it's an estate that has a fixed period, that there is some fixed expiration date on it. It doesn't have to be for years. It could be for months, but there's an agreement that has been set down, and the agreement ends automatically when the term expires. So that's called an estate for years. Then we have what's called a periodic estate, or sometimes called a periodic tenancy. It doesn't have a fixed termination date like an estate for years, and it lasts for a specific period and continues, say, from month to month or week to week, just as long as the person keeps paying their rent. So they pay the rent that month, they get to keep on staying there. They pay their rent the next month, they get to keep on staying there again, and will continue to stay there until either somebody ends it or they stop paying their rent, so on and so forth. So that's the difference between a periodic estate and an estate for years. But both of those are pretty similar. They both can be sort of a rental agreement that between the landlord and the tenant. Then we have an estate at will. And an estate at will just means that you can, at will, terminate the estate. One party or the other can at any time just say, I'm done. I want out. They give notice to the other party within a certain agreed upon time, and that's it. So the tenant can say, I'd like to try to find a new place. I want out of my tenancy. Or the landlord can also say, I'd like someone else to have this place. Or there's some other grievance. They can say, I don't like how you're treating my property. You need to leave. So it doesn't have a specific term on it, but it does mean that if either party dies while they are landlord or tenant, it is automatically terminated as well. And then finally, we have what's called a tenancy at sufferance, and that is what we call the lowest kind of estate. It's really actually not an estate. The problem, what it is that when a tenant has a property but stays there after the lease has expired, they're still on the property illegally without the consent of the landlord. So really the only reason that this is a thing is that under the law, you have to distinguish between someone who used to own the property legally but is now owning it illegally and someone who's outright trespassing on the property, which means that they never owned it legally and are possessing it illegally. So a tenancy at sufferance is something that is illegal. And if you're committing a tenancy at sufferance, then you can have legal action brought against you. Now I'd like to talk about some different methods of how people can hold title to property. So let's go ahead and get started with that. The first is one that is a little bit confusing in the term. It's called ownership in severalty. And ownership in severalty doesn't mean that more than one person owns it. It actually means the opposite of that. It means that only one person owns it. And the reason this is confusing is the word is not actually based on the word several, meaning a few. It's based on the word sever. That means that they can sever the ties with the property at will. And so this just means that a single person owns the property, and that person can do what they like with it usually. Then we have what's called concurrent ownership, also known as co-ownership, where there are two or more people who share the title to a piece of property. And there are a few different legal arrangements under which this is possible. We have a tenancy in common, a joint tenancy, and community property. And each one of these has a little bit of a different classification under the law. You have to understand the difference between all of these different arrangements. A tenancy in common is a very basic form of this co-ownership. Two or more individuals have an undivided interest in a single piece of property. That means they share possession of the entire property. That's not like, let's draw a line down the middle and I own this half and you own that half. No, they just together own all of it. So that's a undivided interest. But a tenant in common, they can have an equal or an unequal interest. So if there's, say, three people who own the property, it could be that one person owns, each person owns a third of an interest, or one person can own half and the other two split a quarter, so on and so forth. So it doesn't necessarily all have to be an equal interest, but it is an undivided interest. So someone who is a tenant in common can deed his interest to the property to someone else without getting the consent of the other tenants. And when a tenant dies, the person who dies, their interest is transferred according to the terms of that person's will to the legal heirs of that person. So that's how that works. Then we have a joint tenancy. And two or more individuals are joint and equal owners of a property. And one thing about a joint tenancy is that it has the right of survivorship. That means that if one of the joint tenants dies, the interest automatically passes to the other joint tenant or tenants. So if there's three joint tenants, one of them dies, then the interests are given to the other two joint tenants so that they can now split it up. So that's an interesting part of being a joint tenant. They also have four things. They're called the unity of interest, the unity of title, the unity of time, and the unity of possession. That means that each joint tenant has an equal interest in the property, that they receive the title to the property through the same deed, and that it was executed and delivered to them at the same time, and that each has an undivided possession of the property. So all of these things have to be in place, or else you don't really have a joint tenancy. So that's an interesting thing to remember. Then we have community property. Community property is something that you use when we talk about people who are married. In Washington, it is one of the ways that you can classify property that is owned by spouses. And so when you're talking about this kind of property, you have separate property and community property. Separate property is property that belongs to just one spouse or the other, and community property is property that is owned by both of them jointly. A spouse has separate property that they bring in, that they can bring to the table, so that they owned before the marriage happened. But all other property that they get during the marriage is considered community property. If you have separate property, so property that you got before you were married, that doesn't need the approval of the spouse in order to transfer or encumber or anything like that. But if you have community property, it requires the approval of both spouses. So let's go ahead and talk quickly about a few business arrangements when we're talking about owning property. Owning businesses. And so we have any group of people who come together and pool their resources in order to carry out some objective are known as a syndicate. And there are different kinds of syndicates that we see legally established in the state of Washington. We have partnerships, corporations, limited liability companies, joint ventures, and trusts. So a partnership is two or more persons who jointly own a business and are trying to make a profit together. It's formed by a contract between all of these individuals that spells out sort of the stipulations of their partnership. Then we have a corporation, and that is owned by a group of shareholders. They are individuals who purchase stock in a company, and then they have a board that oversees the company and decides what to do. And shareholders are then given dividends. That means if the company makes profit, then the shareholders get a portion of that profit. And there can be many, many shareholders over time. And so even if one shareholder dies, then there are still many other shareholders that can rise up and take the place of the original shareholders. So that's a good thing for the company. Then we have limited liability companies, or an LLC, that it's a little bit like a corporation, but it has many of the advantages of a corporation mixed with the advantages of a partnership. So that means that each member in the limited liability company has a limited liability. They're not all responsible for all the debts that can occur because of the company. So there's a lot of flexibility with it. Just a few members can be appointed to manage the company, or quite a few, or all of them. It just depends on what they want to do. And there are a lot of tax benefits as well. A joint venture is a lot like a partnership, but the thing about it is it's only created for a single purpose, a series of individual tasks that need to be done, and then it's dissolved. It's just a partnership for a limited amount of time for a specific purpose. Then we have a trust, and that is where one or more trustees manages the property for the benefit, in order to benefit a group of beneficiaries. So this could be a land trust where the trustees manage the land for, say, a father wants to benefit his son through this land. And so the trustees manage the land while the son grows up, and they put all that money away that the land makes into an account, and it's for the benefit of the son. He is the beneficiary of this trust. And then finally, I want to touch on one other thing that is specific to Washington, and that is our condominiums. And in the state of Washington, the rules about condominiums are set out under the Condominium Act. And that means that if there's a bunch of apartments, each apartment is owned in severalty, but there are certain common elements or common areas that everybody has the right to. So let's say there's a clubhouse or a pool or different driveways or elevators. Those are all things that people can go ahead and use. And there are also things that are called limited common elements. Those are things that, for example, only a certain people are allowed to use, such as a specific parking spot that a person gets. That is considered a limited common element. So let's go ahead and go back and see if you can test yourself. See if you remember some of the things that we talked about today. My first question is, what is an estate? What is an estate? So an estate is when a person has a possessory right to a property, or that in the future they will have such a right. So that can come down the road, but in any case, it is an interest where they have the right to the property. My next question is, what is the difference between a freehold estate and a leasehold estate? So a freehold estate exists for an unlimited period of time. There's not a specific ending point for your freehold estate. That is in contrast to a leasehold estate. And that simply means that there is some sort of expiration date. It's only for a certain amount of time. So when somebody rents something, that is a leasehold estate. My next question is, what does it mean if you have a fee simple freehold estate? What does that mean? So a fee simple freehold estate is the highest form of ownership. That means that you own all of the bundle of rights. You can pretty much do whatever you like with your property. You can send it to your, you can give it to your heirs, you can sell it, you can encumber it. It is whatever you would like to do. So that is a fee simple estate. My next question is, how does a fee simple estate differ from a life estate? Those are quite different. So in a life estate, it's like a fee simple estate, but you only own the estate for as long as a certain person lives. As soon as that person dies, then the fee simple estate returns, then the life estate returns to the original owner. My next question is, what is a remainderman? What is a remainderman that has to do with life estates. What is that? So a remainderman is just a person that is designated as a third party in a life estate that if somebody dies, so if the grantee dies, then the life estate automatically goes to the remainderman instead. They are left over the remainder. They are the remainderman. My next question is, what is an estate for years? So this is a kind of leasehold estate. What is an estate for years? So an estate for years doesn't literally mean it's for years. It just means that it's for a fixed period of time. And as soon as that fixed period of time runs out, then the estate is terminated. So how is that different from a periodic estate? How does that differ? So a periodic estate or an estate from period to period just means that there's not a set end date, but just as long as the tenant keeps on paying the rent every month, they get to keep staying there. It could be every month, every week, whatever it happens to be. And how is that different from a tenancy at will? Those are both a little different from a tenancy at will. So tenancy at will is just one that either the landlord or the tenant can terminate at will. When they're done with the tenancy, they can simply give notice, and that's that. And finally, what is a tenancy at sufferance? So a tenancy at sufferance isn't actually a tenancy at all. It's just a tenant who has overstayed their lease. And so if there is a tenancy at sufferance, that is something, someone is breaking the law. And that's only really a thing because they need to differentiate from people who are just trespassing. So that's what a tenancy at sufferance is. My next question is, what is the difference between owning property in severalty and co-ownership? So property in severalty is a little bit confusing, but it just means that there's only one person who owns it. There's not more than one person. Co-ownership means that there are two or more people that have an owning interest in the property. My next question is, what does it mean if somebody has the right of survivorship, such as in a joint tenancy? What is the right of survivorship? So if you have the right of survivorship, that just means that when one of the joint tenants dies, then the rest of it, their interest in the property, is automatically given to the other joint tenants. So this is something that some co-ownerships have and some do not. They go to the person's heirs or something like that. But in this case, they would go to the other joint tenants. My next question is, What are a few different arrangements that can be made in businesses in Washington? So all of these things are known as syndicates. They're a group of people who pool their resources in order to meet some end or other. There, you can have a limited or general partnership, a corporation, a limited liability company or LLC, a joint venture, or a real estate investment trust. And finally, we have condominiums. What are some ways that condominiums are a little different from other kinds of real estate? So condos are interesting in that each person has a tenancy and severalty over their own condo, but there are common elements, things like pools, things like clubhouses that everybody can use. And then there are some limited common elements, like parking spots that only certain people will be able to use. So that's another interesting element of that. And that is all for our lesson for today. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to lesson number 4 of the Washington Real Estate Salesperson Audio Lessons. If you found this lesson valuable and you would like to purchase the full bundle of lessons, please go to reexampodcast.com for further details. Thanks for listening.